This is a Shift Podcast Network production.
Welcome to Here and Back Again. I'm David O'Callaghan, and this is a podcast looking at all things releasing weekly on streaming and in cinemas, with a bit of pop culture bits thrown in. I know what you're all thinking. I hear you. It's a sports ball weekend. Ireland versus New Zealand in the rugby, plus all those other rugby World Cup quarterfinals. Surely, there's nothing else worth watching. Oh, how wrong can a person be? Because there are a plethora of wonderful options to distract you this week, both on streaming and in cinemas. So, shall we begin?
In life, discoveries usually lead to more questions.
The only constant variable is the unexpected. We can't control it. It's only when you look backwards that you see how it was all connected. Let's begin, shall we?
That's perfect.
I like to cook. It's just chemistry.
You're on the verge of a major scientific breakthrough.
This institution has a reputation based on the world-class scientists, not the theories of a pretty lab tech.
We have rules.
You're firing me.
First up, we have Lessons in Chemistry on Apple TV Plus, which is a new series adapted from the best-selling novel by Bonnie Garmus. In the 1950s, Elizabeth Zott, played here by Brie Larson, has her dreams of being a scientist challenged by a male-dominated society that says women belong very far from the lab. So she accepts a job on a TV cooking show and sets out to teach a nation of housewives way more than recipes, with a bit of science thrown in, while taking on the patriarchy. I adored the book. It was absolutely fantastic. Love it. And it makes complete sense for it to be turned around so quickly into a TV show. It was an absolute smash hit, and probably still in the charts as we speak. Coming across like a science nerd version of Julia Childs, this one looks like it should be a smash hit for Apple. There are 8 episodes in total, and the first 2 are now streaming on Apple TV Plus. So that is Lessons in Chemistry.
Your Honor, no matter how much evidence stacked against them, the Usher crime family stands stronger and darker than ever before.
Anyone comes after us, we will exhaust our arsenal until the threat's neutralized.
By neutralized, do you mean sued into oblivion on the streets?
Neutralized. Like dead.
You guys, we really should get together more often. It's just a balm for the soul.
The Fall of the House of Usher is Mike Flanagan's latest Netflix horror series, following The Haunting of Hill House, The Haunting of Bly Manor and Midnight Mass, and is an 8-part adaptation of the works of Edgar Allan Poe. Siblings Roderick and Madeline Usher have built a pharmaceutical company into an empire of wealth, privilege and power. However, secrets come to light when everything begins to crumble and their heirs to the Usher dynasty start to mysteriously die one by one. Oh, sweet Lord. This gothic horror drama is the perfect prep for those getting into the Halloween mood early, and despite the Midnight Club series being a rare miss for Flanagan, this one definitely feels like he's back on form. So that is The Fall of the House of Usher, which is now all up on Netflix.
What is it about the city of Boston that leads me to forego the more sophisticated temptation of the fermented grape? Sitting here with a cold brew in my hand, I feel amalgamated with the hoi polloi.
You are the classic everyman.
Freddy! Surprise!
Dad! You're at my door, unannounced.
Now, there's a shorter way to say that. Surprise!
What's going on with your son?
Wish I knew. He's got a girlfriend I've never even heard of. When I told him I wanted to spend more time with him, he said no.
It's just not a good time.
Have you considered that he hates you?
Another week, and yes, it's another streaming revival of a classic sitcom. Frasier, the Cheers spin-off, originally ran for 11 seasons, beginning in 1993. And now, nearly 20 years since it finished, Frasier returns to Paramount Plus. Kelsey Grammer again plays psychiatrist and tossed salads scrambled eggs fan Frasier Crane, who has now relocated back to Boston from Seattle as he attempts to reconnect with his son. The show has been filmed in front of a live studio audience, so we're back to that old laughter track vibe of old. But sadly, do not expect to see David Hyde Pierce's Niles adding some ying to Fraser's yang, as he either passed on the opportunity or wasn't invited. Stories differ from both sides. If it's a success, who knows? He might do a Samantha and appear in season 2. Anyways, most definitely a curiosity worth having a nose at for these first 2 episodes, which are now up. And then, you know what? If it's any good, keep going. And if it's muck, move away. That's Frasier, the new series, now on Paramount Plus. 2 quick mentions for 2 more recent cinema releases which have now landed on streaming. First up, we have John Wick Chapter 4, which is on Prime Video. Oh, hell yeah! Stylish, uber-violent, and well, all Keanu. This was a wonderful end to franchise. Or is it the end? Who knows? John Wick 5 could be announced any day, or never. So that's John Wick Chapter 4, which is now on Prime Video. And also out this week, Disney Plus has their recent horror flick, The Boogeyman, now streaming just in time for Halloween. As I mentioned in my previous review, while not exactly the most original horror you will ever see, it had some decent jump scares and is a worthy addition to any Halloween viewing plan you have this October. Teens should also enjoy it. It's a family watch. It's a family watch, but not a smally family watch. That's The Boogeyman, now on Disney Plus. Also this week, it's very important to highlight the fact that, boy oh boy, do we have some documentaries or docuseries or whatever you want to call them. They are dropping all over the gaff, and there are some absolute must-sees here. Starting with this one.
There are a billion people who still smoke globally.
We saw this as this huge public health opportunity.
The way that Apple markets their products was a huge inspiration for me. They're beautiful objects to be worshipped.
We joined the company because we wanted to take down big tobacco.
Our entire mission is to put them out of business. And you just let them buy us?
It felt like they were partnering with the devil.
Big Vape, The Rise and Fall of Juul is a brand new docuseries that comes with some very impressive behind-the-scenes wattage, as it is directed by RJ Cutler, who did the Oscar-nominated The War Room, the September issue, and the recent Billie Eilish documentary. It looks at a scrappy electronic cigarette startup that becomes a multi-billion dollar company until a teen epidemic causes its success to go up in smoke. This is another fascinating Silicon Valley startup going all Icarus as its value collapses from $40 billion to about 5% of that today. It's an intriguing insight into the world of vaping and e-cigarettes at Big Tobacco itself and the whole world of startups and their ability to maintain their original goals while not selling out. Spoiler alert, original goals never stood a chance. This 4-part series is a total cracker and is definitely worth your time. So that's Big Vape, The Rise and Fall of Juul, which is now on Netflix.
I was on the lookout for something.
An adventure?
New reality TV show seeks contestants. And I thought, wow! It was going to be the next big thing, but bigger.
£100,000 for a year.
Mm. All of a sudden, the dream is actually happening.
It allowed our imagination to run wild.
And then quite quickly, I thought, something's not quite right here.
Oh, God.
The early noughties saw the rise of reality shows. Oh, how they rose. Everyone wanted to appear on them. Everyone! But imagine being sold a dream of being on a show with a prize of £100,000 sterling, only to later find out that the whole production was fake. Well, that's what happened to over 30 members of the UK public, and now in the insane docuseries The Greatest Show Never Made on Prime Video, we get to witness the carnage. With use of footage actually recorded by one of the contestants who had future cameraman ambitions, this series follows 6 of those young people who left jobs, homes and partners in June 2002. And after a grueling audition process and months of waiting, travelled to Southeast London to start their adventure. This documentary sees them 20 years after their dreams were shattered, still searching for answers and the disappearance of the man who orchestrated it all. Nikita Russian. Well, there's the most villainous James Bond name you'll ever hear. What were they thinking? Well, we actually know what they were thinking. When will I be famous? As much a commentary about people's search for fame, the noughties reality TV boom, as it is a mystery as to what the hell went on, this one is a glorious watch. Again, comes highly recommended. So well put together, very cleverly done. The greatest show never made is now on Prime Video.
Lionel Messi is here.
Lionel Messi is as big as it gets.
Messi!
This is one of the greatest players in the world.
Messi Meets America on Apple TV Plus is a new docuseries which looks at Messi's arrival in Major League Soccer and the impact and crazed fandom he brought to the game over there. So this is a documentary from Apple about a league which they are heavily invested in and about a player who they have offered a share of percentages of their prescriptions based on his arrival, all as part of his signing on fee. What? So yes, don't expect anything majorly insightful or revealing like the recent David Beckham documentary, as this is purely an advertising reel for the MLS and Messi. However, the fandom has been quite insane when he landed, so that alone might be worth watching to observe the insanity which surrounded the games. Kind of like a modern day Pelé arriving at the MLS. So that is Messi Meets America, now on Apple TV Plus.
The first recorded death was in Elk Grove Village. In Arlington Heights, three are now dead.
This was a stone-cold mystery, and it went on like this for days and days and days without knowing what had happened.
I ran in. There was a young man laying on the floor. She was screaming, "Stanley, Stanley," and she was grabbing onto my arm. And the next thing I knew, she groaned and collapsed right next to me. I'll never forget that young girl.
I said it has to be the Tylenol.
Seven deaths has been associated with the presence of cyanide in two containers of extra strength Tylenol.
Painkiller, the Tylenol murders on Paramount Plus, is a documentary that looks at the deaths of seven innocent Chicago residents in 1982. The case was investigated to find that the cause of the deaths was a cyanide-laced Tylenol shipment, which the victims unknowingly took to alleviate symptoms. With the prime suspect having never been arrested, this doc series attempts to understand why and puts forward theories that may yet have results in the capture of those guilty. Painkiller, the Tylenol murders, is now on Paramount Plus. As I said, some cracking documentaries there, some major highs and maybe one low, but definitely worth catching out. In the anime world, we have Goodnight World, which is now on Netflix. This is a new anime series where four miserable members of a dysfunctional household have no idea that they formed a happy family unit in an immersive VR game with each other. How bizarre. However, as you guessed, when the game eventually becomes part of the real world, learning each other's true identities could make or break their family bond, both in reality and online. If new anime is your jam, well then, the mind-bending Goodnight World on Netflix is defo for you.
Have we met?
Nathan Bratt, I'm the new English teacher.
You live near here?
Yeah, the old Biddle House.
The Biddle House?
I did hear the horrible story about the boy who used to live there.
You know, I hear it's haunted. Have you seen anything strange happening there?
Say cheese!
That is not funny!
No. Not that I can think of.
Goosebumps on Disney Plus is the latest series adaptation of R.L. Stine's young adult horror novel franchise. This new take on the story follows five high school students as they investigate the death of another teen 3 decades earlier. As they delve deeper into the twisted mystery, the teens will, yes, discover that several secrets about their neighborhood and from their parents' pasts, whilst also unleashing supernatural forces upon their town. Oh, will they ever learn? Kids today! Definitely a more mature and older version than the TV Goosebumps of old. This again will appeal to teens and age upwards as you all prep for your Halloween viewing. That's Goosebumps, now on Disney Plus. Also on Disney Plus, please note that for anyone who likes to get their freak on, American Horror Story Season 12 is now streaming, and this season is called Delicate. This one features series regular Emma Roberts and new arrivals Cara Delevingne and Kim Kardashian. That's American Horror Story Season 12, Delicate, now on Disney+. Heading into the non-English section, and have we got some doozies for you, starting with a few horrors to keep you occupied. First up, we have In My Mother's Skin on Prime Video, which is a new Filipino horror movie that was extremely popular at the recent Sundance Film Festival, where it was the only non-English movie shown in the midnight section of the festival. Stranded in the Philippines during World War II, a young girl finds that her duty to protect her dying mother is complicated by her misplaced trust in a beguiling, flesh-eating fairy. Ooh. This one is creepy and somewhat terrifying, but highly recommended. So that's In My Mother's Skin, which is now on Prime Video. More horror, as I said, but this time from Sweden. The conference on Netflix is, well, it's a wee bit mad. A team-building conference for public sector employees turns into a nightmare when accusations of corruption begin to circulate and plague the work environment. However, while that's going on, at the exact same time, a mysterious figure begins murdering their participants and employees. What? Hey, listen, we've all been to that work conference too many times. I've no idea which is scarier, the conference itself or the murders. That's the Swedish horror movie, The Conference, which is now on Netflix. Awareness on Prime Video is a new Spanish sci-fi thriller. A teenager who lives with his father on the outskirts of town by running small scams using his ability to generate visual illusions upon unsuspecting victims. Things all get a bit complicated when his powers, yes, get out of control in public. Never a good look. Never a good look. That's Awareness from Spain, which is now on Prime Video. And finally, in the non-English section, we have from Italy, the new series Everybody Loves Diamonds on Prime Video. This one follows a team of small Italian thieves who manage to deceive top-level security to steal millions of dollars worth of precious stones from the Antwerp Diamond Center. Based on a real-life heist, yes, no surprise, you had me at heist. That's the new Italian series Everybody Loves Diamonds, now on Prime Video.
All y'all that don't know who I am, my name
is Willie Gary.
Willie Gary.
Willie Gary.
William Gary.
Never heard of him.
What's so special about this guy, anyway?
Litigation is war. It's a battle. Bam! And I'm not talking about no bullshit either. I'm talking about some Jean-Claude Van Damme ass-kicking shit.
Truth is, I may have gotten myself into a lot of trouble.
I've been your lawyer 30 years. We can find a way out of it.
You've never sued anybody before in your whole life.
This fella tried to bully me out of business, and I don't think I should be expected to stand for it.
And finally on this week on streaming, we have Burial on Prime Video, which is a new movie inspired by true life events. When a handshake deal goes sour, funeral homeowner, played by Tommy Lee Jones, enlists smooth-talking attorney, played by Jamie Foxx, to save his family, business, and sort the shenanigans out. This legal drama offers plenty of fun and entertainment as this oddball couple bond while taking on the much larger and possibly corrupt corporations. Oh yes, 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 yes. So that is, yeah, fairly decent looking movie. That is The Burial, which is now on Prime Video. And that, folks, is your streaming content options for the week. And yeah, as I said, it's not a bad bunch at all. Some sneaky, sneaky winners in there. As for cinema, yes. Yes, 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 yes. There is only one place to start. Oh, here we go.
Welcome to the Eras Tour.
This has been the most extraordinary experience of my entire life.
To go on a little adventure together, and that adventure is going to span 17 years of music. How does that sound?
The time, yes, folks, has come. After a summer filled with GIFs and memes and TikToks and Insta stories from the concert, Taylor Swift finally unleashes the Eras Tour concert movie for the world to see. Recorded over her final nights at LA's SoFi Stadium, this 2-hour, 46-minute, what? Extravaganza is for all those fans who, yes, didn't get a ticket to the tour next year, or those who just can't bleed and wait. And yes, I'm booked in Friday the 13th 6 p.m. screen one at the Lighthouse with my Tay-Tay crew. I've been saving my voice all week, and I'll be in the back row, old man river dancing and singing, throwing my moves and shapes with a bit of, I would expect some vino to be had. While movie studios may be still a little upset with Taylor for bypassing them to release her movie, early signs are that she's going to bring some much needed cash and footfall to cinemas worldwide. So everyone's a winner. For those of you though who are in the screen next door, oh sweet Jesus, I do hope it's not a quiet indie movie you're going to see. There'll be so much wailing, wailing and screaming. Bring it on. That's Taylor Swift, the Eras Tour concert movie, now in cinemas. Very excited. It's kind of going to be like that Swiftageddon nightclub, but in the cinema with visuals. I tell you, people are going to lose their mind.
What do you want to be going to Lourdes for anyway?
I always wanted to go there.
If you go out that door, don't even bother coming back.
Miracles happen there.
He could speak.
How are you, Chrissy?
My mother is dead. I'm in a place I swore I would never come back to.
Hi. I wouldn't have recognized you.
40 years would do that to you.
I'd say, mixed.
Yes, but it's great to have her back.
Marvellous. Bloody marvellous.
From the highs of Taylor Swift to the what the actual is happening here with The Miracle Club. Set in 1967, this one follows the story of three generations of close friends played by Maggie Smith, Kathy Bates and Agnes O'Casey from Dublin, who win a pilgrimage to the sacred French town of Lourdes. Just before their trip, their old frenemy played by Laura Linney arrives for her mother's funeral from America. This, folks, is an odd movie. Odd in the sense that I wouldn't have been surprised if you told me it had been made in the mid-90s and left on a shelf and now was suddenly getting a release. I have no idea how or why it got made. It's not awful, don't get me wrong, but it's just bizarre. It's like a bizarre watch with mixed messaging all over the gaff. How it got a cinema release is possibly as big a mystery as the Virgin Mary herself appearing in Lourdes. You can just consider me confused with a bit of Talora Laura Laura thrown in for good measure. That's The Miracle Club, now in cinemas. One for the smallies out there, and I'm sure they're pretty excited. Paw Patrol The Mighty Movie is out, and in this one, the Paw Patrol pups magically gain superpowers after a meteor strikes Adventure City. However, things take a turn for the worse when Homedinger and a mad scientist steal their powers and turn themselves into supervillains. I have no idea what I'm talking about here. Listen, you're either going to be dragged kicking and screaming to this dystopian nightmare by your smallies, or you get to avoid it completely. That's Paw Patrol, The Mighty Movie, which is now in cinemas. In limited release this week, we have Lies We Tell, where in an isolated manner, an orphaned heiress must fight her guardian for her inheritance. And yes, her life. This gothic thriller period drama is directed by Lisa Mulcahy, who has a very strong TV background, and stars Agnes O'Casey in the lead role. Arriving with plenty of festival buzz, Lies We Tell is now on limited release in cinemas. And finally in cinemas this week, we have Some Other Hood, which is a British crime comedy. In this one, Rico and Kane need money. They decide to rob a megastar in a nightclub toilet, and things don't go as planned. A misunderstanding leads them into business with one of London's toughest firms. And yes, if you know anything, this is the movie with Ed Sheeran in it. Oh, I'm going to put this under Bizarro. Bizarro stuff being released. Oof. That's Some Other Hood, which is now also on limited release in cinemas. And that's your weird and wonderful week of cinema releases. Just the idea of Taylor Swift on one screen and Miracle Club next door. It's just a joy to think about. Anyway, all sorts of madness going on out there. Music. Oh, there are some crackers being released this week. Well, in my opinion, anyway. Thank you.
The personality, not even gravity could ever hold him down. He's got the sexuality of a man who could take a room and drown it out. Yeah.
Yes, yes, wonderful. The one for me this week. Very excited. Troy Sivan, all the way from Australia, releases his third album, Something to Give Each Other. This is, as you can hear, wonderful electropop vibes with some touches of EDM. I've been quite looking forward to this for quite a long time. And yeah, very excited. So that is Troy Sivan, Something to Give Each Other, which is out now. Also up this week from Canada, dropping some new music, we have indie rock band Metric, whom you may be aware I quite love. They release Formentera 2, their ninth studio album, which basically is just more quality tunage from Emily Haynes and crew. That's Metric, Formentera 2, which is now released. And finally this week, we have local Dublin artist Ciara Mary Alice Thompson, known musically as the award-winning C-Mat, as she follows up her debut album with Crazy Mad For Me. Glorious, glorious pop tunage. And I've seen some people review-wise comparing it with a hint of Dolly Parton. And it's amazing to watch her star rise globally, not just locally. So that's Crazy Mad For Me from C-Mat, which is now out. And as are all the rest of them, awaiting your ears. Three things. Hey, there may be five things. You can tell the strikes are almost over because so much shit is happening, I can't keep up. So, three things we noticed in pop culture this week. First up, and oh boy, all is not well at Marvel. As, yeah, we've kind of known for quite a while. Well, it's just got a whole lot worse, as Kevin Feige admitted that having seen early episodes for the new Daredevil Born Again TV show, the writers, the directors, and the episodes have all been whacked, removed, and they're going to start over again and are currently looking for new writers and directors. Holy Jesus. Rumours have it that it was more of a legal drama than the action and violence series we've been used to on the Netflix version, and seemingly was way too boring for Mr. Feige. Tough times. Daredevil Born Again, and again, and again. Anyway, we'll see what happens there. Next up, just when we thought we were out, the Screen Actors Guild and the studio negotiations have collapsed yet again. The trade association representing studios and streamers said in a press release on Wednesday night, after meaningful conversations, it is clear that the gap between the AMPTP studios and SAG-AFTRA actors is too great, and conversations are no longer moving us in a productive direction. And yes, then Thursday morning, oh boy, it gets worse. The Screen Actors Guild shot back, accusing the studios of bully tactics. Bully boys, they're all bully boys. They said the studios intentionally misrepresented to the press the cost of the above proposal, overstating it by 60%. The message to the union members said they have done the same with AI, claiming to protect performer content, but continuing to demand consent on the first day of employment for use of a performer's digital replica for an entire cinematic universe or any franchise product. The studios or companies are using the same failed strategy they tried to inflict on the WGA, the Writers Guild, putting out misleading information in an attempt to fool our members into abandoning our solidarity and putting pressure on our negotiators. But just like the writers, our members are smarter than that and will not be fooled. Holy moly! Tell us what you really think. Eek! Looks like we have a long, long way to go, folks. All very depressing. We'll have nothing to watch. I'll have podcasts with thin air by the time next March rolls around. Let's not end our three things on this bleakness. Let's go out in a blaze of glory with some slightly more upbeat news. Not even slightly, hugely upbeat news. Jerry Seinfeld has hinted that a Seinfeld reunion may be on the cards, more than 25 years after the hit show, About Nothing, aired its finale, which, I'm not going to lie, divided a lot of people. At a recent comedy gig, he replied to a fan question where he was asked whether he liked the sitcom's finale. Well, I have a little secret for you about the ending, but I can't really tell it because it's a secret, he responded. Here's what I'll tell you. Okay, but you can't tell anybody. Something is going to happen that has to do with that ending, but it hasn't happened yet. And just what you were thinking about, Larry and I have also been thinking about. Oh, Larry David. So you'll see, we'll see. Wowza. Oh, I'm in for that. Give me some more Seinfeld in my life. The idea of the Seinfeld crew operating in a world of social media alone would be worth the comeback. My money is on George and Elaine being the first to get cancelled. And there you go. There are your three things. There's your streaming. There's your cinema. There's your music. I do believe it's time to get out of Dodge. That was a nice little pod and I hope you enjoyed it and you're all calm and relaxed and going to watch a few little things before the sports ball stresses us out like Billy-O. Trying to find a feckin' seat in the pub is going to be the stressful thing. Right, this is Dale O'Callaghan for the Here and Back Again podcast even. Wishing you all the best and other than next week. Oh my God, I can't even speak properly. I'm getting tired. Stay safe and being chappy. so many good stories, average stories. Anyway, well, hello there, post-credit traveller. Welcome yet again to the Thunderdome. Yes. Where will we go? What will we talk about? Oh, it's... There's so many choices this week, but one thing caught my eye and it just sent me down a rabbit hole of bitterness. Talking about studios not learning their lessons, or maybe learning their lessons. But the hot story this week, and it was a pretty hot story, about an upcoming bidding war for the movie rights to a new novel. People were losing their minds and getting their checkbooks, if they still have checkbooks, or their Revolutes ready. Because this new novel has been written by James Patterson and the late Michael Crichton. And it's been released in June 2024. First things up, yes, I'm very aware that these two lads have sold about 675 million books worldwide. But talk about nonsense hype. Like, we all know publishers talk absolute muck. But you in the US, Hachette, who have the novel over there, I think it's PRH here. The novel, by the way, is called Eruption. They said, this is one of the most spectacular meetings of minds in literary history. Oh, sweet Lord. The novel is based on a partially finished manuscript by Crichton, who died in 2008, and was given to Patterson by Sherry Crichton, the author's wife and CEO of Crichton Son, the publishing production company of the Crichton estate. What is the storyline? Oh, well, the storyline. Do you really want to know? Yes? Okay. Well, it's a once-in-a-century volcano eruption of Hawaii's Mauna Loa volcano, which threatens, yes, a secret cache of chemical weapons that can destroy not only the island, but the world. Oh, hello, 1990 calling. It wants its manuscript back. Who knows, maybe Pierce Brosnan and Tommy Lee Jones will team up to help out. Like, feck's sake, lads. Feck's sake. We are talking about James Patterson, and here comes the bitterness fever, who dabbles in writing these days. Only dabbles because He and his team just scour the world for best-selling novels and ideas to replicate. And then he throws these ideas to his multiple writers at his book farm. Yes, Jimmy has a book farm. And what goes on there? Well, it's a place where teams of co-authors and ghost authors basically work from Pattison-supplied outlines and stick closely to his no-frills formula of short chapters, short paragraphs, short sentences, and yes, you guessed it, short words. Oh, I'm pretty surprised this guy doesn't run bookstores and airports just to stock his own books alone. Anyway, let's not forget, or why would you forget? Because you didn't know, but I'm telling you now, this is a man who, when I asked him once why the ending of his Alex Cross novel, Roses Are Red, ended with a kidnapping cliffhanger, and then in the sequel, Violets Are Blue, that person was back. They were there on the screen, or on the book, on the page. And then about halfway through the book, they got kidnapped again in the exact same way. How did our great crime writer reply? Well, he replied with, "Oh, not the most enthusiastic, and I wasn't comfortable. That was a bit of a dodgy answer." And then he said, "Well, you see, in the US, they didn't like the cliffhanger ending we used in the Europe edition, so we took it out. Hence, what you are reading here now in Europe is actually the sequel to the US version. We figured that was the better one to go with." Soz, I have no words. I had no words. I was livid, and slightly disappointed, I'm going to have to say. Anyways, what can you do? Whatever studio bids over the top and an insane amount of cash for this crossover disaster waiting to happen, well, you deserve all the happiness in the world. And yes, just in case you're wondering, I gave up reading James Patterson quite soon after that encounter, because, believe it or not, about 3 books later, they repeated the same trick of forgetting what they'd done in a previous book all over again. For feck's sake! Mad stuff, Ted. Mad! I'm not bitter, I swear. Not a bit. Poor Michael Crichton. He'd be turning in his grave if he knew who got their hands on his book now. And then gave it to a 22-year-old book firm intern. Eruption. I'll give you eruption. Anyway, be good. Talk soon. We were cursed. We never had a shotgun shot in the dark. We were driving. We can't wake up.